I haven't played a poker tournament since July.
Damn, Daniel. I got second in that tournament that we talked about last week, and then I got 10th in a tournament. So I final table bubbled, and that sucked because the difference between 10th place for $600, that obviously I'm just going to donate back in like 3 seconds, and first place for $9,000, which obviously will take me longer to donate back, is such a big difference.
That is a big difference. That's what happens when you get 10th in a tournament. It's usually a pretty big difference between 10th and first.
It's because I hero called with like 11 left with second pair, and he had the firstest of pair and probably like three other pairs on the board as well. It was not my best hero call.
That's tough. I'm sorry.
Yeah.
I wish you won.
I've gotten a bunch of other, like, what do you even call them? They're not min cap, mid caches. Is that a phrase? Mid caches?
I've never heard that, but
I like it.
that could be a thing.
I've gotten a bunch of mid caches, but nothing good.
You're making some runs. That's what you mean.
I've what?
You're making some runs.
Yeah, but are they really runs if like 90 people pay and you finish like 54th?
That's like a mini run. That's not really a run.
Yeah, it's a mid cash. You can't pay the bills with mid
It's
caches,
probably.
though.
I mean, it may as well still be a min cash, not a mid cash. I'm sure that the payout difference between 55th and 90 is a very, very
Yeah, it's
small.
tiny, but it feels better, I guess, a little bit to finish in the 50s and the 90s. But you definitely can't make a living off mid caches. You need to win a tournament.
Yeah.
It's impossible. Winning a tournament is impossible. It's just so
It's
hard.
pretty hard.
They only let one person do it per tournament.
I know. It's pretty wet. It's pretty messed up. It's a messed up system.
It kind of is. Even if you finish ninth, say like 2,000 people play a tournament, the difference between even like sixth and first is so gigantic that it's. But
Is this your first time playing tournaments?
you never really think about it until like there's this money that can either do nothing for your life, 10th place, or do a lot for your life, first place. And it's only nine places in between. That's the amount of money for the small amount of places, it's not equivalent.
Yeah, man. Now multiply those stakes by, tenfold and imagine getting 10th in a tournament for, 5K or something. And first is like, I don't know, 100K.
Yeah, that's why that Mark Newhouse guy went crazy and he blew all his money because when he got ninth back to back to.
Did I send you that article or did you send that to me?
I don't know if either of us sent it to each other. We both read it, though, I guess.
Yeah, I don't know where I saw that. Maybe Kev Math retweeted it.
Yeah, I believe so.
I mean, it wasn't like a great article or anything, but it at least updated us on
Well, we've kind
what
of like
we're about.
talked about him as like a folklore character the entire duration of I'm weirdly obsessed with him because he got ninth in back-to-back WSOPs.
Yeah.
And it was almost like that was like a curse on his life. And he ended up going
Yeah, I
crazy.
mean, that's still kind of silly though, because
I don't know,
I mean, it
ninth for.
happened. So like, I understand the psychology behind being like, while having it kind of a ridiculous accomplishment over 2 years.
It would keep me up at night if I finished ninth back-to-back.
Yeah, but I mean, in the end, he still had $2 million in his bank account.
Yeah, well, a million after taxes, and he probably swapped and sold some pieces. Probably wasn't
I don't
great.
know. I mean, yeah, those spots like very rarely come up once for people, never mind 2 years in a
Yeah, I
row.
know.
So yeah, I mean, I'd probably be
As the wise philosopher once said, mo money, mo problems.
yeah. But, his expectation was certainly less than that. Once you're down in the thick of things, it sure sucks to get ninth.
You got to learn how to ladder. You got to be better at
Yeah, he bluffed it off 1 year. I think it was
laddering.
actually a pretty sick bluff. Maybe it wasn't, I can't remember. I think maybe Will Tonking just had a no repair.
Like, what's so annoying about mid caches is like last night, for example, I've like eight big blinds and I've queens, and it's like there's like 60 people left, like 9K for first. And it's like, all right, sweet, queens, I'm all in. Sixes call. And it's like, if I double there, I've, you know, upwards of 25 bigs. But he
no, you don't.
Yeah, I do.
You shoved eight bigs?
I might have more. I don't know. Whatever. Math is idiotic. Yeah. I don't know why I said I would have 25 when I said eight bigs. I'm just literally saying numbers out loud.
Maybe if this tournament has the biggest antes ever, then yeah, you'll be upwards of 25 bigs. But
to be fair, it is kind of sick when you have eight bigs and you think a double gives you 16, but then because I have extra.
Right, I get where the mindset's coming from. You're like, whoa, we're like, how do I have 20 now?
Yeah, it's actually really cool when that happens.
Yeah, it's great.
But no, so then like he goes like runner straight, and it's like, well, fuck, all I have to do is not lose queens to sixes and I'm rich, because then you have a normal stack and you start telling yourself that you're gonna win because everybody else is terrible and you're the best. I just don't understand how.
So is this the only tournament that you're playing this weird, like, I don't even know what the buy-in is, where it's just 9K for first
every tournament? I swear to God, I should send you screenshots. Every tournament on ACR, it has 9K for first. Like, I don't know.
$100 price point?
It doesn't, because I don't know how they do it. It's like every tournament just evens out to $9,000 for first.
I feel like you've made like three or four deep runs in what I have assumed is the same tournament, but I guess it's not.
No, I finished 10th and 11th in a $88 50K guarantee. Both of those with 9K for first. I finished like ninth in a $55 with 9K for first, and yeah, the one I got
second. It's just the same tournament, just this,
yeah, yeah. And then the one I got second in, I had 9K for first.
Yeah, it's just all the same tournament.
I think instead of guarantees, they just say guaranteed 9K for first, and then they just sprinkle it out from there. There's no rhyme or reason behind their payouts. So slowly donating back all that money that I won. I took a little bit off, though. I heeded your advice. Is that the word? Heeded.
Headed.
I headed.
Isn't that from The Office?
Is that a line from The Office?
Yeah.
I don't even remember that.
Yeah. He's like, I...
Oh, yeah. No, I do. Fuck. I didn't even mean to do an Office bit.
Well, good. I'm glad to...
I'm great at poker now. I think I might be the GOAT. I might be the GOAT.
Should we do a tournament, like Cracking Aces ACR tournament review for you? I was saying Cracking Aces, as that's your screen name.
Oh, should we do a hand history review? Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I would. I'll send you the hand history and you just shred every decision I made.
Yeah, I mean, we can put it into a replayer and get it semi-organized.
While I was getting 10th in that tournament, our girl Haley won the 215 300K for like 55K.
Wow.
Pretty sick. Yeah.
That's awesome. Was that on Sunday?
Yeah.
Sweet.
Pretty good score, eh?
Yeah, it's a great score. I don't even know the next time I'll play a tournament will be.
Just play the $600 progressive knockout $1 million guarantee.
On ACR?
Yeah, it's pretty cool.
Yeah, but that is cool. But then I'd have to play a whole bunch of other tournaments.
Do it. Make it a Sunday to remember.
No, thanks.
Come on, man. I played one bullet of that 630 on Sunday. Speaking of bankroll management, I played one bullet of it.
And that's impressive that you only fired one.
I know. It took a lot of restraint. What I end up doing is I'm like, well, in that tournament I got second in, I kind of sucked out that one hand, so I should have finished fifth. So I'm kind of free-rolling the money between fifth and second.
Yeah, that's fair logic.
I think it is. I think that's very good logic.
Just basically blasting off like your above EV winnings that you made.
I played about 4 to 10 hands in the 630. The first hand I had ace-queen, and this dude 3-bet me, and I called, and the flop came ace high, and he bet, and I called, and then the turn came a third heart, or a second heart. It was like the Queen of Hearts, and then the river was like the Jack of Hearts. So it was just a tough board, and I folded, and then I lost ace king to eights like five hands later, and that was $630. And I was like, shit, I could buy so much,
especially if you late reg.
I could buy so much food for $630, but it was like 9K for first, so I kind of had to play it. No, those things are huge. First and second are the same money. Did you know that?
In a PKO, yeah.
Is that just because you're playing for the bounty at the end?
Yeah, exactly.
Why not give a little more for winning?
We get a lot more for winning.
No, why not give a little more guaranteed for winning? What's the logic?
What do you mean? You get a lot more for winning.
How?
By winning the bounty.
You get your own bounty?
You get your own bounty and your opponent's bounty.
Okay, but why is first and second the same guaranteed?
It's not. I mean, it is, but it's not.
I understand you get the bounties, but why not just give more guaranteed to the winner?
I feel like we could just spend the next 30 minutes me saying the same thing and you saying the same.
I get that you get the bounties. Why not have more? It was like
you're looking at it as a regular tournament. It's not a regular tournament. It's a progressive bounty. The bounty
third place is like 50K, and then first and second each get 75K. Why doesn't first?
They don't.
in the guaranteed money tab, it is. I understand.
My answer is I don't know. I don't know why they don't. You know, I don't. But I don't know why. You want from them? What do you want them to give? Like $5 more? Like 5K more?
I don't know. Make it a normal tournament where first place gets 20%, second place gets 15%.
I mean, you're playing for your heads up matches, like a pretty big percentage of the prize pool.
I completely understand. I want the guaranteed to be bigger as well. I don't like first in place having the same amount guaranteed.
Okay.
Even though it's not.
You'll have to take that up with Phil Nagy.
All right. Doug Polk.
Every PKO I've seen is like that.
You're a PKO. Give me your thoughts on Doug Polk.
Oh, my God. Okay. I don't know.
Don't hold back.
He's going crazy. I don't know. It's like some weird, like, mostly embarrassing, like ego. I don't even want to say it's an ego trip, but he's like back. He's feeling himself. He's been, you know, I guess he's been doing well in the people that he's been playing, and he's just decided to attack or respond to any sort of Twitter criticism or troll that comes his way. Sounds exhausting.
He has been tweeting a lot. At everybody. Yeah. All right, let's start from the beginning. Him and Daniel Negreanu are trying to do this heads up match, and they can't hammer out terms. And then it comes out that Doug.
It's like these dudes both live in Vegas. They don't like each other.
Uh huh.
But they feel the need to only communicate over Twitter.
Only Twitter.
And publicly, not through a DM.
So, wait. Doug wants to use, and I was reading about it this morning, these heads-up charts that have pre-flop ranges on them and RTA, meaning real-time assistance. He wants to use these as they play heads-up. And Daniel is like, no HUDs, no real-time assistance. And then Doug says stupid shit like, by this logic, RTA means drinking coffee or getting a massage while you play. Like, shut up, Doug. Nobody thinks that. Negreanu.
That is such an absurd.
Of course.
Analogy.
So, I even Doug's fans are like, dude, no charts, no HUDs, none of this real-time assistant stuff. Just like.
Well, first of all, you can't use a HUD on WSOP, and you can't capture hand history. I mean, I think there's some software that allows it to get the hand history and kind of have this kind of bootleg HUD. But my guess is Doug wasn't going to use that anyways.
Dude,
but yeah, man, like, what, you're a huge fucking favorite versus Daniel. How much heads up have you played? Like, you've been working nonstop for whatever, 2 or 3 months now to get back into the swing of things. You have to look at your charts.
It makes no sense. He had everybody
for pre-flop game certainly matters, but like that's like the thing that you absolutely need. The person that put it the best way was Ike Haxton. He said, "How is there a big fight about using charts for preflop heads up no limit? There are 4 nodes. You can write a complete preflop heads up no limit strategy on a napkin and memorize it in 15 minutes. It's like if contestants in a spelling bee were fighting over whether or not it was okay for one of them to bring a list of all the letters in the alphabet to consult in real time."
That's funny.
And it's true. It's the preflop stuff, is, especially heads up, is, you know, if you're a heads up specialist, it's not only is it intuitive, but assuming you put in, you know, a lot of hours and a lot of work, it's kind of just day one stuff.
And what's his reasoning for wanting to use it then?
I don't know.
Okay. He went after Berkey. He went after Berkey's boy, Christian Soto. He went after Luke Schwartz. He went after...
I've just seen him going after random Twitter people.
Yeah, yeah. I was trying
just
to...
Just like random-ass people that are just, you know, I don't know if they're trolling or they're just giving him a hard time, but he's just going after everybody.
The thing is, and I told this to Daniel, it's like, it would be cool or funny if, like, this is the way they were hyping the match and they were just busting balls and having a good time. Doug doesn't have – I don't think Doug has that capability. He is out for blood. He's not joking. And then Daniel is just – I don't even – like, he knows he's an underdog, and he's just like, what the fuck is going on? Like, what are we talking about? Preflop rain sheets?
Yeah, I mean, listen, Daniel's also not innocent of I don't know, maybe he's been deflecting, maybe he's prolonging it. I don't really know, but
they're gonna play. Like, they're gonna play.
They're gonna play, yeah. But at this point, I mean, you and I were talking about this, and it was like, I don't even care.
Yeah, they'll make.
I'd like to see the results when they're over.
I'll watch some. They are gonna play a part of it live with whole cards showing. Doug and
yeah, that's I'll watch that. And Kane Callis is commentating, who'll do a really good
Buffalo
job.
Buffalo Bill is commentating, as he's known online. Yeah. I will say this: they will make it entertaining. They are both showmen. Someone said something like he replied to the Kraken Aces account. He was like, "I feel like this is just all a setup, and they want is attention." I was like, yeah, no shit. Like,
oh, somebody did?
Yeah. Like, I think that's the entire point of this entire thing, is they just both want attention. Like,
well, I think Doug wants to beat him down.
Doug hates Daniel.
Yeah. This means something for Doug. And for Daniel,
it shouldn't. Wait. Can I ask you something about that? Why? Yeah. It only means something to Doug because he hates Daniel. It's like he knows,
yeah,
he's a heavy
right,
but he's a heavy favorite, so it's how much can it, he just wants to take his money.
Yeah, man, but right, but this is, you know, this is a heavy favorite, is it doesn't mean he's gonna, I mean, I think he's gonna win, but it doesn't mean it's not gonna at least be close, or that Daniel could even pull it off, because
yeah,
in the end, it's heads up no limit. There's a great deal of variance that goes into it, and depending on how much Daniel's preparing, you know, it could get interesting. If it means that much to Doug when it doesn't mean as much to Daniel, like some sort of inner ego battle or, you know, Doug's own mindset could get in his way. If he's like, let's say he gets off to like a bad start and he's like, yeah, you know, downward spirals, and I can't believe he's losing to Negreanu. Like, you never know. It's very psychological.
It still feels like Negreanu is not free rolling because there's a lot of money on the line. They're going to each put up like $1 million. But he'll be able to say after, like, I worked really hard. I tried my best. I went after the best heads up no limit player maybe in internet history.
Right. I mean, so, if he loses $1 million,
Snap made it back.
I would think that it's nothing for him.
Yeah. Do they sell pieces of themselves in this?
No, but you can bet on that.
No, not publicly. Like, do they reduce variance? Are they allowed to? Is that a normal thing if you have a match?
I would assume that neither of them are selling action.
Okay, I wasn't sure. Would it be frowned upon?
I think that I think it should probably be disclosed. But
Well, imagine if either one of them disclosed that, the whole chirp fest starts all over again. Like, you pussy, you're not willing to put up.
Yeah, that's why. I mean, first of all, like, Daniel almost definitely isn't. I mean, who knows? Maybe he's like giving a small sweat to a friend.
Yeah.
But Doug, I would assume, is not either, because, I mean, he's won a lot playing poker, first of all. Second of all, this is definitely a good spot for him.
This is his Super Bowl.
Well, it's a good spot. It's a good opportunity for him. I don't know why he would, they're playing a lot of hands. So, like, yeah, there's variance, but through 25,000 hands, I think they're playing 30,000 hands.
They have the opportunity to quit after halfway through, and they also both have the opportunity, if they agree, to raise the stakes after halfway through.
Oh, okay. Yeah, that's cool.
Which I would assume will happen.
Maybe.
I find it hard to root for Doug because of just the way his attitude, like, he's not making it fun. That's my problem with it, and that's what we were talking about yesterday. He's taking the fun out of it for me by being a dick.
Yeah, I mean,
you can like talk shit and trash talk without being a dick.
Yeah, that's the thing, is it's not funny.
Yeah,
like, he's not coming off as you know, like, some people that are being dicks it's funny, it's humorous, or, you know, they're good at it, and he doesn't seem to be very good at it. But the thing is, like, I've always thought that a lot of his content is funny.
Sure.
But this is.
I mean, Jamie Kerstetter's a great writer.
Yeah. Right. This has just been kind of.
I'm not even saying that as she told us on the show when she was on that she writes his videos, so. Like, that makes sense.
Oh, she's a ghostwriter for him. Yeah,
that makes sense. I don't think she's writing his tweets. I say he should hand over his tweets to her, and right, everybody's opinion would change because she knows how to do the perfect balance of, like, funny but, like, talking shit but, like, not taking it seriously.
Yeah, she's great.
I wonder if he thinks he's being funny. And, like, he's just like, why don't people?
You know what? My guess is I just don't think he cares.
No, you're probably at some level he wants to be liked, obviously, or he wouldn't be doing all of this.
Yeah, it's like, all right, man, like, you're a good heads up no limit player. Like,
cool, we already knew that.
Right. That's not. That's not breaking news, but that doesn't, like, give you the right to just be an asshole to everybody.
It's really hard, and taking my personal friendship with Daniel aside, just internet-wise and the way people have kind of turned on him recently, it's really hard for people to then come back to Daniel's side, and he's just by existing. And he texted me last night about Norman Chad. Norman Chad's, like, being a dick. And I didn't see.
Daniel.
I was like, Daniel, straight up, to be honest, I see zero of anything Norman Chad tweets. Like, none.
Doesn't he have you blocked?
He unblocked me.
Oh, wow.
But I know.
That's some positive steps to a.
He unblocked me probably like friendship in like July or something. I've never once tweeted at him. The guy's a loser.
Do you want me to hold a therapy session for as a podcast episode between the two of you?
No, thank you. I'm all set with that. But I was like, Daniel, just, like, don't engage with these people. I was just like, nobody benefit. You don't benefit by engaging, getting these like chirp words on Twitter. Why is everything so public? Like, send a text. It's just, it looks ridiculous when everybody goes back and forth on Twitter like this. I assume people like it. I don't know if people like it. I assume people do.
I think there are definitely people that enjoy it. I don't know. It's pretty brutal. I would guess most people like it within the poker community are rolling their eyes, but I don't know. I know I am.
How can you be worth so much money and have? Well, you know what? I take that back.
Poker, I mean, I was going to say like this. I mean, anywhere people are worth a lot of money, and you see rich people doing like pretty petty things.
Poker's different though. It's the weird brain that goes into being like a professional top poker player. Where, what did Jason Kuhn call it? He's like, everybody's like spectrum-y a little bit. Yeah. Where that's why I wonder if like Doug Polk is like, why don't people like me? Like, he just can't understand why like these like fucking asshole tweets. People are just like, dude, fucking, what are you? Relax. He had one somewhat good chirp.
Yeah, I mean, mixed in with his like these rants are some good ones for sure.
Something about like they're trying to put money on WSOP and he can't figure out how to put $1 million on, and he's like, that's fine for me, but we're gonna have to figure out how my opponent can get more money on. I don't know. I thought that was fine.
Yeah, right. I like the shit talking with like between him and Daniel, or like his tweets directed at Daniel, because it's something he has to back up, you know?
He seems very, very confident that he's going to back it up.
Yeah.
Very. Daniel, which, you know what's crazy about this entire conversation? This is like if we were talking about Barry Bonds versus Sammy Sosa home run chase, and we're just like writing off Sammy Sosa, who finished with 66 home runs that year when McGuire had 70. It's like, we're talking about Daniel Negreanu. Like, he's beaten all the high stakes cash games, you know, a zillion bracelets, whatever. It's like, he's not a slouch. He has a team of like probably MIT computer programmer, fucking math geniuses working with him. I would assume like he has coaches. I don't think he's just laying out at the pool waiting for November 1st and he's just going to log on and start playing. I would have to imagine he is working very hard. I would be shocked if he wasn't.
Yeah, I mean, he's definitely has resources, so it wouldn't surprise me if he hired somebody to help him.
I just imagine he has like a little Asian kid that he stole from MIT, just working at all hours on algorithms.
No, I doubt I'm saying no, like
no, you didn't kidnap a kid from MIT. Okay. On the record, Jake does not think he kidnapped a little Asian kid from MIT and keeps him chained in his basement working on algorithms.
Oh shit.
Just begging to let to eat. That's what I imagine, yeah, in my head.
Just for the record, I don't think that.
I do. For the record, I do.
I know. I think he instead of like trying to do or hire somebody to do like that technical stuff on his own, I think he probably hired a well-respected pro to point him in the right direction as far as resources go. And
here's a question. So okay, let's say Ike Haxton, you know, very respected, heads up, whatever, high stakes pro.
Mm-hmm.
He knows Doug, he knows Daniel. Let's say he's equally friends with both of them. Is there any moral obligation or anything to say I've hired Ike as a coach, or is there
any moral obligation from Daniel to say that?
Maybe either of them. Is everything secret that you do behind the scenes, or should that be out there?
No.
Yeah, I didn't think so.
I mean, maybe after the fact, let's say he goes on and he, it doesn't even matter. Let's say he like loses $500K and that's, you know, he think that that's like a solid result. You know, he could like shout out Ike or whoever being like, thank you for like all your help. And, you know, you know, unsurprisingly, you know, took my game to the next level. And really,
yeah, I wouldn't
really
do it immediately though, because then all you get is Doug Polk saying, well, Daniel didn't beat me, Ike beat me or whatever. Daniel should give Ike an extra like 2%. Like, I will never say that you helped me. Like, you will never get credit.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. I don't really think there's a big, huge deal about that. But I'm sure, you know, I mean, it's not like even if Ike was or whoever was friends with both of them, I'm sure Daniel is paying them a lot. So there's no issue for whoever the coach is to accept money.
What if he double crosses?
And coaches both?
No, he's a mole for Doug, giving bad advice to Daniel and then telling Doug the bad advice that he gave to Daniel to exploit it.
That's just next level. I don't know.
I mean, it's poker. There's no rules. You used to walk into the saloon with your pistol and shoot someone if they check raised you.
Those were the good old days.
Good old days.
But yeah, I mean, you know, that's there's been some good gossip this week.
Otherwise, or between this, you mean?
No, between this.
Oh, okay. I was like, did I miss something else?
No. Maybe we missed something else.
That old fuck Norman Chad is trying to butt himself into it. His tweets are so depressing. It's like 0 likes, 1 retweet, 1 like, 1 like. And then he mentions Daniel and he gets engagement. So that's why he's doing it, obviously.
Yeah.
That old bitter fuck. Anything else going on?
We got the Phil Galfond challenge that was paused, resumed, and since it's resumed, I think Chance was down like 280K, and now it's only 120 after the last 2 or 3 sessions. So,
tell you what, the whole challenge thing really lost its steam after that first one.
Well, I think there's a huge difference between having it on Run at Once, where they could, it was just a better production.
And he was down $1 million.
Right. And the actual storyline was like, you know, straight out of a movie. So yeah, it's like, it kind of sucks. I know a couple guys are doing their own broadcast, but it's hard. I mean, I think Henry Kilbane and what's the other guy's name? I can't remember. Nathan Gamble. They do one. And, you know, they're doing a good job, but it's just kind of hard to... You know, you can't see the whole cards. There's only so much, like, you can certainly talk strategy, but it's still kind of tough. I don't know. There's just something about it being played on WSOP where it's like, takes the fun out of it.
Do you want to answer some questions?
Yeah.
What episode is this? 81?
I think so. Sounds right.
Shout out to Aaron Hernandez. Finally.
Is he 81?
Finally, we can shout out your boy. We've been waiting for this moment for the entire podcast. Yeah, Aaron Hernandez is 81. In our hearts. No, number one in our... 81 on the field, number one in our hearts.
Yeah.
It wasn't his fault, man. Justice for Aaron. No? Why are you shaking your head no?
What's the question?
What place did you finish in the 2015 WSOP main event?
Not a question.
34th! What place did I finish in the $88 $50K guaranteed with $9K for first on ACR?
Best spot to finish in a tournament.
10th.
Number 10.
Let us see. Oh, that one last tweet from Doug Polk. Let's get this straight. I only retired from poker one time. I didn't play a single hand after that. The only reason I'm back is this on the streets is because a complete dolt wants to ship me $1 million. Fair.
Nice.
That's fair. This person wants to know if you will ever return to live underground. Oh, I didn't expect that.
What?
What would it take? I thought you were going to say no.
No, I for sure would. It's just such a more enjoyable experience playing in a private game or an underground game than playing in a casino. It's almost always catered. It's a nice apartment. I would if it was the right game and I, knew somebody who, could kind of vouch for the legitimacy of it.
All right. Well, so Jake, are you officially on the market for an underground game to play in?
Sure.
Wow.
It would probably have to be like semi-high stakes.
Does Greg Merson play any? No.
I don't know.
I assumed he would be your connect.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not going to say what Greg does or doesn't do.
Tell us.
No.
Tell the people.
No, that's...
The millions.
That's his own.
And millions.
But no, I mean, I do have some friends that play in city games and are, have pretty decent connections for...
You know if they're going right now?
Yeah, they are.
Ugh, do you have to wear a mask?
Yeah.
Probably not. I assume it's just a free-for-all.
At least in one that my buddy played in recently.
Dude, I would wear fucking, gloves and shit in there. They don't wash anything. It would be so
funny. Yeah. I just the thought of it is kind of gross, but...
Ugh.
It's funny. I'll tell this, short story. Through my tennis club, one guy loves the fact that I play poker, and apparently his neighbor runs an underground game in Chinatown, and so he got us in a group chat, the three of us, and this guy was every single night was sending. Now, it's funny because he wasn't sending it to me; he was sending it to the group, just advertising for his game, saying,
"I get those."
There's going to be, what stakes are running, where it is. There's going to be food. There's going to be, massage girls, all this stuff, the full nine.
I get a text from a 5-10 game in New Jersey. And I'm I don't know what this number is. I've never played in New Jersey and I'm not playing 5-10. And I can't get off this list. I'll look it up right now. No, it's something else. I don't even know what it is. But I don't know why I keep getting it. Wait, sorry to interrupt. Continue.
Yeah, so I think I was taking a nap on a Sunday, maybe a month ago, and I wake up to 70 texts between the two of them. And it started off as the one guy advertising for his game. And then they just all of a sudden got into this political argument. But they are clearly friendly, but it was literally 60 or 70 text messages of these Trump memes and this guy's Asian. So the other guy was giving him up and it was just ridiculous. I was what the hell did I just wake up to? And then I politely told the guy that I wasn't, I wasn't going to be coming into the city during, I used the COVID excuse.
Laurel Park, New Jersey. It's so far away.
Yeah. Well, I'm out on that.
Yeah, I don't know why I get these texts, but no, I don't want to play in this Laurel Park 5-10 game.
Yeah, I would dive back in eventually.
Here's another question.
It would be a nice change up. Yeah.
I would love to go play live.
It's just going to be weird the first time back, just even handling chips or looking at the cards. I feel like
kind of grosses me out, but
it's gonna be gross, but I just feel like I'll be such a such a noob.
your hands will be shaking.
My hands will be shaking. I'll be exposing my cards to everybody at the table accidentally.
Question for Jake Toole. Outside of poker, where do you get your kicks? Do you find the same rush you get at poker table doing anything else? Golf, other sports, drugs, etc.
Yeah.
Drugs.
Drugs. Yeah, you nailed it.
So, yes. Hard drugs.
I've said it here. I have a tennis background and
So wait, hold on. New listeners of the show don't know you're a D1 athlete.
Well,
you're a Big Ten D1 recruited athlete.
Yeah.
Penn State 2-year tennis player.
Yeah. Tennis is always, it has been a big part of my life. It always will be, but it's been nice, like, transitioning into paddle tennis because it's something that I, like, have a racket background with, but it's a completely different game. And I really do use that in the fall, winter, and, like, start of spring as an outlet. For me, poker is, I take it seriously, and I really enjoy the competitive aspect of it. When I play poker, it's intense, and it's.
Does tennis give you the same rush though?
No, because it's much easier.
Tennis is easier?
Yeah.
Then play harder opponents.
No, but it's not even that. It's much less. Like, even
fucking
if I were
Jake Nadal better, over there, better. Oh, tennis is so easy.
No, but I'm telling you, paddle tennis is like very mentally draining. Just because of the nature of the game, it's like it's a lot of strategy, it's a lot of like patience and discipline. So like that, the reason I've picked it up so well is because I have a rackets background, and I need to, those two things are very similar to what you need in poker. You need a lot of patience, a lot of discipline. And I use that as a big time outlet. I mean, basically any sort of like activity is a good outlet for me. I spend most of my days either playing poker or doing some sort of fitness, whether it's running. I haven't been in a gym in a while, but anything like that is usually a good outlet for me.
Is your foot healed?
Yeah. Foot's fine. Neck is fine.
Hey, I forgot you fucked your neck up too.
It's funny.
Do you have a cane callus on the bottom of your foot?
Yeah, it's like glossed over.
Ew.
But there's really just a small scar. You saw how bad it was. You'll never forget that image.
Gross, dude.
Yeah, no, it's fine. But I've been working with a personal trainer for, I don't know, 6 weeks now, just really to help with like injury prevention and mobility and stuff that.
Where did you do that at?
We've been doing it outside.
Oh,
right at Church Square Park in Hoboken.
Well, you didn't have to give that address.
Well, I mean, it's a big park.
You're a big park.
I don't know. What about you? Your outlet is rollerblading, right?
I haven't done that in a month at least. I don't really have an outlet.
It'd be so nice to do right now.
My only outlet is blasting off poker tournaments I can't afford.
Yeah, I mean, like, it's right. It's different for you. Like, you're working and
I get the rush of losing money. For some reason, losing money gives me the rush. Like, I just need money on the table.
Yeah, I mean, I get that. I find that, and this is definitely not a good thing, but I find that sometimes when I start a session, I need to lose at the start to like get in the right mindset.
Yeah.
Like, I'll be playing maybe a little too passively at the start, or be in like kind of this friendly mindset, and then someone like plays a hand bad, or I play a hand bad, or I lose half a buy-in or something, and I'm like, all right, fuck this, like, you like get sharp and like get your head straight, otherwise like you shouldn't be playing, and that will like reset me and refocus, and almost always it does put me in the right mindset.
I just stare at these lobbies, and it's like, there'll be 150 people left, 90 cash, and you can max late reg with 10 big blinds. And it's like, fuck, I might as well. Like, what's another $100? Like, you can't die with $100. but then all those $100 add up.
What do you mean? That's such a good spot if that's actually true. Those numbers.
But it's like every single tournament, yeah. So I end up blasting off so many times.
You're not like blasting off. You're only blasting off.
It's not bankroll management approved.
Yeah, I mean, probably not, but
it's not like that in every tournament, but some of them do get super, super, super close to the money where, yeah, I do look for those spots.
You should probably just be max late regging those tournaments.
Maybe I'll do that for the 630, 9K guaranteed on Sunday.
630, 9K guaranteed.
Yeah, I don't know what they do with the rest of the money.
Yeah, well, they probably keep it.
That wouldn't be very ACR friendly.
The Eric Nathan Invitational, 9K for first, buy-in, always changing.
Or with the nasty scout.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's important, and I know most poker players who I'm friends with need to have some sort of outlet for when they're not playing. And I don't even play that much, but I still find that, like...
You don't play much poker?
Not as much as some people.
I feel like you play every day.
Well, it's tough. It's honestly tough during the day when, you know, there's only so much that I can do if I'm not playing. So I do try to play.
From playing the last couple weeks, it gets fucking exhausting. I'm surprised you can do it every single day for this long. Like,
yeah, but I really don't. I don't do it every day, and I take a lot of breaks. I go through phases of wanting to play a lot and feeling motivated, and I go through phases of being unmotivated, and I try not to give myself a. It's easy to like feel anxious when, you know, I'm here and I don't feel like playing like. That often like gives me a little bit of anxiety, because I feel anytime I'm home around my computer, I should be at least sitting.
How has this year compared to last year? Like, we're almost at the end of 2020, which is nuts to even say out loud. But how's your graph compared to last year?
It's a lot higher. I had a good year last year, but this will end up being the best year that I've had in New Jersey.
Wow.
How could it not? I mean, it's the volume has been off the charts. And it's hard to, like feel good about having a good financial year in 2020, because of like shit show of a year that it's been, but yeah.
What are you going to buy me?
I bought you a, right over here, I bought you a Murphy bed. You can come on and stay over whenever you decide to come here, which will be
there. Nah, you can buy me something else to keep at my house.
You get that Peloton?
You bought me a Peloton?
Yeah, you didn't get it?
No.
No, maybe it was like the candy that I sent you that one time.
Someone stole the Peloton?
Maybe.
I'm beginning to think you never sent a Peloton.
Who's to say? But yeah, I mean, I would think that a lot of players in New Jersey and Nevada are having their best years, or at least very good years.
Well, we're all very happy for you.
Yeah, I mean, it is what it is. I, you know, still have to pay my taxes. I know.
Taxes. I got an extension in April. They're due tomorrow.
Taxes due tomorrow. Yeah, my accountant called me yesterday.
I need to do that.
Yeah, you don't have an accountant. You do it yourself.
Yeah, I just do TurboTax.
Okay.
Shoot, I should probably do that.
Yeah,
I have one day. I don't even know how to get my papers.
Yeah, I don't even know how TurboTax works. I don't even know how having a pay stub works.
Fuck. I need like a W-9 or W-2 or something. I don't even know.
That's always a motivator, is when I know I have to pay my taxes. That'll usually motivate me to want to play more.
Fuck. Can I get another extension? Coronavirus.
Yeah.
Shoot.
Yeah, but I mean, do you get money back?
I should.
Isn't that, you don't pay money, do you?
For what?
Your tax. I mean, I know you pay money for your taxes, but doesn't that just come out of your paycheck?
I don't know how taxes work, man. You get money taken out of your paycheck, and then you just pay more. And just
you still. So when you do TurboTax, you still pay more, and then you get some back.
I don't know. I definitely get some sort of refund, but it's not a lot.
I feel like this is, some people listening to this are laughing at our stupidity, but I don't really know how it works.
Yeah, I think once you wait until October 14th to do your taxes,
Will you get charged a fee or a penalty for late filing?
I'm not going to late file. I'll figure something out.
What do you mean? You already did late file.
Taxes. No, I filed an extension in April.
I know. Extensions, you pay a fee for.
No, you don't.
I do.
I don't.
I pay a $600 fee for it.
No, I didn't get charged. It was free.
Oh, okay. Maybe it's different for
independent contractors.
Yeah, maybe.
I don't know. I just went on like government.com, filed an extension.
America.com?
Yeah. Yeah. Now that I think about it.
PayYourTaxes.net. Yeah, taxes suck.
Fuck. I'm glad you reminded me.
Yeah, you're welcome. Are there any more questions or no?
No, that's it.
Okay. You don't look very happy.
Well, now I have to do my taxes.
Yeah, what else do you have to do?
I wouldn't have had to do them if you didn't remind me. God damn it. Now the government's going to come after me.
All right. The lady from Mr. Deeds... and some other Adam Sandler movies died. I don't know the actress's name.
Well, what an uplifting way to end the episode. Thanks, man.
I just saw Adam Sandler's tweet retweeted.
All right. Well, on that note, subscribe, leave a 5-star review with your favorite death, and let's get a guest for next week, yeah?
Sure.
Who do you think?
I don't know. Maybe should we get Daniel on?
All right.
Topical.
All right, let's get Daniel on. No promises.
And Doug?
And Doug at the same time?
Just surprise them.
And make them say nice things to each other?
Yeah.
They can only compliment each other or we mute them.
Sure.
All right. Well, now that I'm in a bad mood because of taxes... Shit.
Thanks for everyone for tuning
in. Thanks for everyone?
Thanks to everyone for tuning in to the Cracking Aces podcast. I am Jake. That sad man over there is Nate. And don't forget to download, subscribe, rate 5 stars, leave a review to cheer Nate up. And we will see you all next week.
I'll be in fucking jail for tax evasion.
Fingers crossed.
Thanks, guys. I have no idea how to do my taxes.
Have you not done them?
I remember I did them last year, and I was in a full panic because I couldn't find some papers. And then I just keep putting it off because I don't feel like going through that whole process again because I don't know where to find these papers, and I'm going to run into the same problem. And I don't even remember how I did them last year. And I definitely did them wrong.
That sucks. Why don't you just... is TurboTax, I think, is very easy to use, is it not?
I don't know, man. Not if you don't know where anything is. All right. Well, I should do this.
All right. See ya.
Bye.